Welcome to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. My name is Beth Shank, a registered nurse in Missoula, Montana, and host of today's podcast. Today, our guest is Anne Hulick. She's state director of the Clean Water Action in Connecticut. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Beth. Nice to be with you.
Thank you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing.
I've been a nurse for almost 30 years now, and spent much of that time in the traditional hospital setting. And for the last 7 or so years, I've had the privilege to be with Clean Water Action as the Connecticut director, and really do more work in the environmental health arena. So working at the state level, with our policymakers, and also at the federal level with a national coalition.
Great. So tell me more about how you got interested in environmental health. You said you were working in more traditional nursing roles. How did that develop for you?
Well, so interesting. Even as a little girl, I was always very concerned about the environment and what humans were doing to the environment. I was always cared about animals, and I was the little kid rescuing the robin out in the backyard and saving dragonflies that were in the in a lake and all of those kinds of things, and just never knew how to make a career of that. And So I went to nursing and loved that. I always worked in critical care and cardiothoracic surgery, and then was a nursing director for many, many years, and really loved that work. But there was always something inside of me that felt like we do a really good job of taking care of people when they're sick, but we don't do a good job in our education of nurses and other healthcare professionals, or in our practice with really linking actions on the environment and impacts to the environment with health, not only human health, but health of the ecosystem and how that's all interconnected. So I always had that kind of inside me, and again, didn't really know how to do any of that work. I was very connected with the Connecticut Nurses Association and would do some education on a volunteer basis. But in 2003, in my mid-40s, I finally decided that it was kind of now or never, that if I wanted to do something in the environmental health policy world, I had to kind of take a leap of faith and make a change. So I left my position as a nursing director at Hartford Hospital and decided to figure out how to navigate that path, and ended up going to law school. And once I got out of law school, I had the opportunity to work at the Connecticut Department of Environmental Protection. And then, long story short, just continued my work with the Connecticut Nurses Association, and then got connected with Clean Water Action and saw the good work that they were doing here in Connecticut as well as nationally, and was fortunate enough to be hired there. So my original role was to coordinate the Coalition for a Safe and Healthy Connecticut. And then over the past few years, as I've said, I moved into the director level position in Connecticut. So it's been I've been very fortunate to figure out this path that is often unclear to nurses. And I don't think there's one right way, it's been a really wonderful opportunity to work with such a diverse group of people and really trying to make a difference in environmental health policy at the local level and at the federal level.
Wow, that's really cool. You say you were fortunate, but I will point out that you were also committed and courageous to take that leap of faith and being true to your own values and taking that forward. I had a question about in what ways do you think your nursing background informs your current work with policy and also action in Connecticut?
Oh, just, it's just in every decision, every action, every thing that we think about. It is part of me. Being a nurse is part of me. And so many people ask me, well, why did I leave nursing? And I'm like, I didn't leave nursing. I am practicing nursing every day in my role as the director at Clean Water Action. I look around me and see what the issues are in the state. For example, many people don't realize we have very poor air quality in Connecticut. And so there's not always a good link of why are we seeing so many kids with asthma, even in rural parts of the state. And so I'm able to connect those dots and help people to understand that, you know, the issues with air quality are affecting people in our state and kids and other vulnerable populations. And here are some things we can advocate for to hopefully make a difference and to improve our air quality. So that's just one example. The work we do on toxic chemicals and products, for example, I'm really able to help people to understand that exposure to chemicals and products does impact, based on the research, we know now that there are strong linkages between chemicals and products and numerous diseases. And I can share stories of how when I was in nursing school and a practicing nurse for many years, we believed that the placenta was a barrier to those toxic chemicals. And, you know, I can credibly share that now we know that that is no longer true. And so I think as an advocate and as a nurse, I'm able to talk about these health impacts to people in a way that helps them to understand and informs policymakers in a way that is meaningful and hopefully has an impact.
Interesting. Yeah, I think the ability for nurses to translate complex scientific material is really a benefit for work such as yours.
Yeah, I do a lot of presentations to nurses, nursing students, and other people around the state, and I'm constantly reminding myself that every day I use the nursing process. When I'm talking with policymakers, we have to, you know, go through the nursing process to assess the situation that we're dealing with, assess their knowledge, assess their understanding, their willingness to listen, assess what the political dynamics are, all of those kinds of things, and then formulate a diagnosis, if you will, and a kind of a plan of action, and then evaluate how that's working. And it really occurred to me early on in this work that those skills that are just embedded in me, I didn't even realize I was doing it, but it is the nursing process applied at the state house or at, you know, all of the different places where I work.
Cool. It's pretty reliable, the nursing process.
It really is. It really is.
I had a question. I was wondering, just in reflecting about how how advocates really are talking about climate change in terms of linking it to human health. So, you know, in the past 5 years or so, that's become a much, it's been recognized as a powerful message and one that before that point had been a little bit passed over, thinking more about ecosystem health. I wonder if that is something you've noticed in water advocacy as well.
Absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right that it was something that I felt, and I still do feel, although it's better, that the health impacts of climate change were something that were not really talked about. And I saw that here in Connecticut many times, and it's been kind of eye-opening for me and rewarding for me to be able to be a nurse in different arenas where I've been able to stand up and say, here are the public health impacts of climate change for our air quality, for our water quality, and we're seeing them right now. So, for example, in Connecticut, we have always been a water-rich and water-abundant state. We've never really had to think about water. We have good drinking water. Overall, we have good protections in place for water pollution, but we experienced like a 7-month drought this past year, and that has really never happened in Connecticut, and it was a wake-up call. And I was able to talk about that in the context of a changing climate and really bring it home for some of our policymakers and some of the advocates that we're working with. So I continue to try to drive that message and make those connections. And I have to say that the work that Annie has done in, giving me the education and the tools and, being a group that is really speaking about this has been helpful to me here in Connecticut to really drive that message home. And we continue to do that with students and policymakers and other people that are working on climate change policy here in Connecticut.
Tell us a little bit more about your role. I believe you're co-chair of the Policy and Advocacy Work Group. What sorts of things do you do, and how has that influenced you?
Oh, it's a great group. Every month we have our work group calls, and I co-chair it with Kathy Curtis and Katie Huffling. And there's been no shortage of issues for us to be working on, unfortunately. So each month we pick a topic that is kind of extremely relevant and ripe for that particular call, whether it's, for example, Scott Pruitt's nomination to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or the rollback of the Clean Water Rule, for example. So there's been a number of issues that each month we talk about as a group, and just have really had really robust conversations about how these issues, these policy issues, will affect nurses and other people in the states that we're all in. And we learn from each other, we share, real on the ground kind of stories. And then we try to have an action that we take as nurses. How can we take what we've just talked about and do something about it? Because we know that it's a frustration if nurses want to know, what can I do to make it better? And so we've done things like have action alerts, or we put out press releases, or we urge each of us on the call to reach out to our collective networks in our states and inform our friends and colleagues what's going on and urge them to take action. So I think we've been able to amplify some of the work and really focus on key issues that are arising and key challenges that are happening. We always want to continue to do more and expand that work more, but I think this past year has been really good. We've had really good discussions on the Policy and Advocacy Work Group.
And you bring a unique role with your co-profession of being an attorney. Mm-hmm. Thinking about that over, the past almost 15 years since you've been doing both, really, what would you recommend for nurses? What wisdom do you bring from the legal profession to help with messaging or strategizing or anything else with environmental health?
Oh, that's such a good question. The first thing I would say is that you don't need a law degree to do this kind of work. I chose to pursue a law degree because, for me, I was very interested in when I really looked at both roles, they're fundamentally both training to be advocates, right? And so I felt that by learning the law and learning that new skill set, that new language, and really understanding the legal process, how our government is set up, what levels of authority do our executive branch agencies have vis-a-vis our state houses and our legislators. All of those kinds of things really helped me, I think, to better understand things like the Clean Water Act and how that impacts what we do at the state level, just as one example. But as I said earlier, you certainly don't need a law degree to be a good advocate as a nurse. We're already highly skilled to be environmental health advocates, and I've really worked hard, not even with my own self when I first started this work, because I was really nervous to do this. I thought, how can I speak to a legislator? And then I realized that it was nothing for me to speak to a neurosurgeon or a cardiologist or a orthopedic surgeon and advocate for my patient. So speaking to a legislator is really no different. And nurses already have, they're so good at that. And so I hope to help other nurses to just recognize that no matter what path they take, we already have the skills to do this work. And I personally feel we have a moral obligation to do this work as part of our professional practice. The law for me just helped me better understand, and I think add another layer of skills to my ability to advocate clearly and cogently for issues that I'm working on.
Great, that's super helpful, and I'm sure that your skills really do add a lot wherever you go, and including with Annie. I wanted to follow up on something that you just said, which is about the moral obligation, but also about your drive back in 2003 or 4 when you realized you were going to take this leap of faith and leave your, where you had been working for, I don't know, 20 years perhaps. And step out into this area that you had identified as a young girl was important to you. I think that many nurses have, a real sense of moral clarity about their role and about caring for others and about protecting health. And yet it is somewhat rare, probably, that people take such a leap of faith. I wondered if you could identify or describe any more of what propelled you. And still propels you in that way.
I think it was just honestly hitting my 40s, really thinking about how do I do the most good about the issues that I care about in the remainder of my career. And I think I just, on a personal level, my mom had passed away 6 months prior to my leaving my job, and she left me a little money. And rather than buying a car or traveling or something, I decided this was a sign. This was a gift that I could utilize in a way that would enable me to fulfill my passion. And I kind of just, threw it out there into the universe and said, I'm going to take a leap of faith and leave. And I was scared to death, honestly, but I was also convinced that this is what I wanted to do, and I was going to figure it out, come, hell or high water. So I was really lucky in many respects that I had that ability, and I was just committed to figuring out how to do it, as I said, and I still am. Even when there's days lately that I feel like, oh my gosh, there's just everything's getting rolled back, all of this stuff that we have worked on is being stalled. I feel more and more compelled to get more and more nurses involved, and speaking out and shaping policy and making these rollbacks, either stopping them or making them short term. And I gain a lot of hope from the younger generation behind us that they really get it. And I feel like the more I can be out there speaking about these issues, and it's not a political issue at all. This is a health issue, and the more that I can talk to people, the more hopefully the more positive changes we can make down the road. So that's what keeps me going, and I'm just really excited about more and more people understanding this and wanting to get involved. And I'm grateful that Annie is kind of taking that place to help nurses and nursing students get out there in the policy world and feel comfortable. And I think we've been good role models and mentors. So I'm really proud of Annie and proud to be a part of it.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much. And thank you as a co-nurse for your moral clarity and your professional leadership. It's really important. I completely agree with you.
Well, thank you, Beth. Thank you. I feel the same about you. So.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I wondered if we've talked a little bit about this, but if you think back over your lifetime and your early interest and being kind of keyed into environmental health issues for many years, what is your biggest concern right now about environment and health?
That we're not acting fast enough on climate change, honestly. I see that as the overall umbrella kind of everything, you know, our air quality issues, our water quality issues, waste issues, food safety and security, all of that I see as part and parcel of a rapidly changing climate. And I worry, obviously, with the recent administration's, lack of focus on that. And but I'm also, I'm very interested, and I think we have an opportunity to not just rely on government to address those things. And I think we're seeing big changes in not only how individuals and local municipalities and how businesses are getting involved. And I think as healthcare professionals, we need to continue to think outside of our current government legal structures and really figure out more and more ways to ramp up reducing greenhouse gas emissions and making sure that our colleagues, friends, our neighbors really understand what actions we all can be taking in our homes and in our communities. So just really thinking differently about and quickly about how do we reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
And do you have something that you would say to the folks in your community or nation?
There's so many. So in my own local home and with my community, I talk a lot about just reducing energy consumption. Thinking about in Connecticut, we do have poor air quality, as I said, and we know it's from transportation. So anything that we can all be doing, ride a bike, take a bus, consider an electric vehicle, and here's the rebates and all of that information. As we work in coalitions and work in different groups, really just continuing to talk about that and talk about the health impacts. I really think that that's, as you said earlier, I'm convinced that when you talk about the local immediate health impacts that we're seeing now, that really resonates with people. People care about that, and then we help them to connect the dots. So just really helping, getting the message out at whatever level, you know, we can, to show people here are some steps that you can take, whether it's reducing water consumption or energy consumption or reducing waste, reducing your plastic, you know, all of those kinds of things collectively matter.
You referred earlier to the nurses that you speak with each year and their education. Uh-huh. And not only new nurses who are entering the profession now, but nurses who have been doing it for their careers. Do you have anything specific to say to nurses about this?
Kind of building off what I just said, that I think number one, really helping them to recognize, like I want them to have a light bulb moment where they recognize they already have these skills. They already have the skills to be good advocates in the state house or in their, you know, local town councils or wherever it is. And by helping them just with the knowledge of how climate change is impacting health, I think launching them to be good advocates outside of the traditional healthcare setting, I really think that's incredibly important. And then making it local. You know, really understanding, you know, many nurses in Connecticut don't understand that our air quality is bad and that, you know, water quality is, we can't just be complacent about it. We have to be thinking about how our actions are impacting and what are the steps that nurses can do, no matter what setting they're working in. Whether it's a hospital, a clinic, a school, how can we be talking to our clients and our patients about how their symptoms might be related to a changing climate?
Great. Thank you so much. Well, Anne, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. And do you have anything else you'd like to add today?
I think together, nurses really can make a huge difference. We already are, and I'm looking forward to getting more and more nurses engaged in this type of work.
Terrific. Thank you. So thank you for listening to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. Today we are speaking with nurse and attorney Anne Hulick. Check us out at environ.org and please leave a review for us on the Apple Podcasts on iTunes. Talk to you next time.